Welcome to Classics Now, the radio program of the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. I am Solomon Iverta, joined as always by the mellifluous Mary Harper for yet another selection from the classic bookshelf. What do we have this month, Mary?
We have a Chinese classic this month, Solomon. It's called Monkey's Journey to the West, and it was first published in 1592, so it's a true old book.
Well, and even before that, come from stories told many centuries even before that.
I think we had a blast with this one.
This is a good one.
It's a really good one. Here's how it starts. There was a rock that since the creation of the world had been worked upon by the pure essences of heaven and the fine savors of earth, the vigor of sunshine and the grace of moonlight, till at last it became magically pregnant and one day split open, giving birth to a stone egg about as big as a playing ball. Fructified by the wind, it developed into a stone monkey, complete with every organ and limb. So there you have Monkey.
The origin story. You got nothing on us, Wolverine. So Monkey is, yes, a classic kind of superhero before there were superheroes.
Right. This was kind of a Chinese comic book. I mean, there was everything in here. Demons, dragons, deities, you
Ghosts
name it.
Ghosts coming back from the dead.
Ogres. Yeah. You had it all. Well, Monkey starts out, he's just irrepressible, Monkey is. He starts out and he learns to become immortal. And he learns transformation, and he learns to fly, and then he goes up to heaven and wreaks havoc. And he gets thrown out. And all of the members of this little band that go on the journey have all been thrown out of heaven or, you know, otherwise have done something wrong that they're trying to atone for. So one of the interesting things about it is none of them are at all perfect.
Not really the type of people you'd want to hang out with.
No. You think of this, you know, holy pilgrimage, and you think of people, you know, even the priest, Tripitaka, he's supposed to be very pure of heart, but he's very weak of heart as well. I mean, he's always whining and crying and going, oh, no, we'll never make it. Oh, we can't do this.
Well, and this really is Tripitaka's journey to go get the holy Buddhist scriptures from India. He's sent by the king of China at the time to go and get these. So it's really the monk's journey, but he gathers up with him along the way, the monkey. And who else do we have there?
Oh, Monkey, who was imprisoned for defying heaven. Then we have Pigsy. Pigsy is really one of my favorites. He was formerly the marshal of the heavenly canopy, but he got a little drunk and flirted with the moon goddess.
Mistake.
Yeah. Got thrown out. He was supposed to become a human, but, you know, got into a pig instead, so he's half a pig.
Right.
And his appetites show it.
So, right.
Yeah, right. So there's Pigsy. And then there's Sandy. He is a celestial curtain-lifting general. I love these titles. And he dropped and shattered a goblet that belonged to the Queen Mother of the West, so he got thrown out.
Whoops.
And he's a little quieter than the others, but he mediates between them.
Yeah.
One thing we should say, too, is that this is actually based on a real occurrence. There really was a monk, Tripitaka, way back in the 600s, who traveled from China to India and studied there and then came back with Buddhist writings. And his disciples wrote his story, which is pretty straightforward, but over the centuries, they just kept adding all the other folk tales and stuff on top of it until we end up with Monkey.
Yeah, it's a must-see storytelling there.
Right. So it's a classic quest tale, you know, that this monk is sets out and acquires these disciples along the way who help him overcome. He's supposed to have 81 calamities. Fortunately, the version that we read is abridged, so we didn't read all 81 of them. He has to go find these scrolls. And in the end, really interesting little part, they have to cross the river. And in crossing the river, they lose their material soul. So they become basically immortal by dying, in a sense.
Yeah, I thought that was just a sublime scene toward the end of the book, and it's really worth your reading through and getting there to see.
There's been a lot of video games, I've heard, based on this in China. So, and it's not surprising because there's a lot of fighting going on. We read a little article from, I think, back in the 70s when a second translation was made. This one was done by Arthur Whaley, who was a famous translator of Japanese and Chinese works, but he did cut it down to 300 pages. Now, if you the full thing that was translated in the 70s is 1,800 pages, four volumes. But surprisingly, a lot of our book club went, you know, I might try it because this is so entertaining.
Yeah.
It really is entertaining. And the article mentioned that a lot of the more philosophical parts are glossed over or lost in Arthur Whaley's. Although there are some of them. There's one here. They run into a bunch of robbers. And the robbers, of course, monkeys, you know, they're no match for monkey, but he says, I too, said Monkey, am a great hereditary king and a lord of a mountain for hundreds of years, yet I have never heard your names. In that case, let us tell you, they said. The first of us is called Eye That Sees and Delights. The second, Ear That Hears and Is Angry. The third, Nose That Smells and Covets. The fourth, Tongue That Tastes and Desires. The fifth, Mind That Conceives and Lusts. And sixth, Body That Supports and Suffers. You're nothing but six hairy ruffians, the monkey said, laughing. So that's a common Buddhist tenet right there, is that, you know, all your senses are, they're fooling you. They're not real, and they need to be put aside or mastered
and
somehow.
Monkey has to master them by defeating them by pulling out his magical cudgel and whapping them all in the head.
That's
so
right.
It's a little more literal than metaphorical. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, although there are Taoist and Buddhist principles in here, nothing is sacrosanct. I mean, they go after everybody. So, you know, it's not like it's a highly, you know, religious book in any way.
Well, I really appreciated, being a, you know, a civil servant myself, that the heaven was actually very, very much a administrative snafu, just like down here on Earth.
Exactly.
And so it was fun to see, you know, and even when they're going to get the scriptures, that they play a little joke. The administrators of the Buddhist heaven play a little joke on the monkey and Tripitaka before they leave, and then Buddha has to kind of put an end to that. So it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here?
At one point, they discover these Taoists who have enslaved all the Buddhists in their area, so they have to fix that. So nobody's, you know, safe from getting a little satire thrown at them. It's interesting, they, at the end, they're supposed to collect these scrolls, and so Buddha says, yeah, okay, give them some scrolls. And the monks say, who have the scrolls, say, you know, okay, what are you going to pay us for? You know, it's like a little bribery there. So it's all, like I say, nothing is sacrosanct, but it's a whole lot of fun.
Well, one more little bit before we got to go here.
Well, at the end, you know, we have Pigsy here, he's been, you know, completely eating everything in sight for ages. And finally, with his, you know, trip across the river there, he's lost a lot of his appetite, and now everybody wants him to eat. So he says, it's bad luck on me, said Pigsy. In the old days, I really had some appetite. No one thought of pressing victuals on me. But today, when I eat next to nothing, they swarm round me, pressing on one another's heels and beg me to stuff myself. I suppose I, mustn't be rude. And to spare the feelings, he managed without undue violence to his insides to get through 8 or 9 dishes of vegetables and 20 or 30 pasties.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. I encourage everyone to pick this up. It's one of the four great novels of ancient Chinese literature. And, well, where are we moving next month, Julia?
Back to a little bit serious. It's our Shakespeare month, and we're going to be reading Richard II.
All right. Thank you for joining us for yet another edition of Classics Now. This is Solomon Huberto with Mary Harper with Lorna Bryan Engineering. Thank you so much, and have a classic day.